You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Raining Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, recording this podcast for a second time with Sam Jam Packard the Great. Our first recording of this podcast has gone to podcast heaven, RIP. RIP, that first recording.
It was good. You guys missed some fire takes.
Fire takes. Some things we'll just never get back. We're not going to really go into that. We're going to leave you guessing, leave those mysterious. Just like Marcus Smart's hand injury. We're going to leave the podcast with that. We've got Celtics Clippers to talk about. The Celtics played their best game in a week or two. Jason Tatum had his best game in a while. Milos Teodosic had no prayer of guarding Tatum. But we're going to start with Marcus Smart's hand injury, because that was a shocker. That was interesting. And
let us set the scene. So we come into the Clippers game. It's a back-to-back. We don't think there's going to be any like new stories because they just played the Lakers. What more could they have like really discovered? And then so they announced first that Al Horford's going to be out for a concussion. That wasn't too surprising because that happens. So you want to be cautious with that. And then someone asked about the starting lineup, and we'll go to the audio here.
Decided. Yeah, we're still talking through that.
Is Marcus Morris going to play?
He is playing. Marcus Morris is playing.
Kyrie
is playing.
Anybody out?
Marcus Smart is also out. He lacerated his hand on glass in the hotel, got stitches. I don't know the full story. We're learning more about that. Mike Zarin and Brian Dolan were with him at the hospital 2 hours ago. Got stitches, and doesn't sound like a long-term injury, but we're doing more research on how it happened.
So that was something that happened today?
Today, this afternoon.
If you're still doing research on what happened, are you worried that he was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing? Why do you have to do research instead of...
Well, obviously, you know, I want to make sure that I'm thorough and telling you how it happened and what happened. So, but again, I think that he cut his hand in the hotel on glass, you know, sometime this afternoon.
How many stitches, Coach?
I have no idea.
Not great, Bob. As a rule, when you have an injury that your team has to investigate, it's no bueno. So we don't really know what happened. We assume it wasn't great. It doesn't look good, at least. It looks very bad. Marcus Smart, was he angry? Did he punch through a window? Did he slip in the shower and fall?
Was there a trampoline accident? Like, well, I don't know what exactly was going on. Anytime you have to do some thorough research into the situation, anytime you have to send Mike Zarin in, like the wolf in Pulp Fiction, to go and like clean up the situation, not great. We have no idea. Apparently, you said he was at the Staples Center tonight, so he showed up at some point.
He was at Staples Center. He was out of the hospital where he got stitches. But other than that, Celtics were kind of hush. They are still gathering information.
Still doing research.
Which is just wild. And it's not good. And to be honest, like, Smart has a few times in the past had instances where he's shown a lack of maturity. I think he missed a pregame walkthrough in the playoffs 1 year. He has had a couple things, and it's usually, I don't know, it doesn't seem like a pattern of destructive behavior, because it seems like most of the time he's on a pretty good path. He wants to have, he's always fighting for his team, yada, yada, yada. But he punched a hole in the wall in Washington after a loss. He beefed with the Celtics coaches on the sideline one time. So I don't want to say it's like a real issue, but it's definitely a thing.
It's a thing that definitely happened and kept him out of this game. And it's interesting, just in a I think the fact that he's in a contract year makes it kind of more interesting. I don't know, like, considering we have no real facts about what happens, this is all just wild conjecture, and I'm sure Celtics fans can go on some Reddit deep dives and find some more wild conjecture, but it was very surprising, and having that kind of bombshell drop before the game, it really impacted my expectations of how the Celtics were going to play, how they were going to generate offense. But they came out and definitely exceeded expectations. I think they got back to winning basketball. They really spread the ball around. I thought they were going to have to rely on Kyrie, especially with Horford and Marcus Smart out. But no, they shared the basketball, five different guys in double figures tonight. What do you think they did that kind of changed the tide to get back to just playing better offensive basketball? Because their offense stunk the past four games.
Before I answer that question, let's just remind the people who we are. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever. And if you don't subscribe to us already, you're stupid. And you should do it by searching Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. Do it, and you'll get to hear our great takes. Anyway, the offense was better. I thought they just attacked mismatches and got to the paint and were productive at attacking mismatches. Instead of like settling with a tough shot for the mismatch, they got to the paint and facilitated ball movement and used the mismatch to break down the defense. And a lot of the times that mismatch was Milos Teodosic. And a lot of the times he was guarding Jason Tatum for God knows what reason. I mean, I know you don't want to stick Milos on Kyrie, but if I had to choose Milos on Jason Tatum or Milos on Jaylen Brown, I'm putting Milos on Jaylen Brown. And, you know, I'm sure Jaylen would have done some work in the post. I'm sure that matchup wouldn't have gone particularly well. But Jason Tatum versus Milos was destined to be there was destined to be bloodshed. And there was bloodshed. There was a lot of bloodshed.
Definite bloodshed. But it felt like the Celtics, even when they couldn't get that first matchup, they were working the ball around and basically just trying to find Milos. Like, whoever had the ball, whoever Milos ended up on, they were going to take him to the rim. And he was going to let them, because that's what he does. Like, he is not a defensive player. But I thought Tatum did a nice job of attacking. Terry Rozier, I thought, had a nice bounce-back game. He did a really good job of getting into the paint, kind of exploding both in transition. He's incredibly fast. He had some nice finishes. And then the Celtics just knocked down a number of shots. It felt like the Marcus Morris had some threes. Daniel Tice had two threes. The mainest man, Semi Ojeleye, knocked down two threes. He comes into the game and gets three fouls in 20 seconds, which is damn impressive. But then actually knocks down some shots. He had a nice little, some work in the paint. He had a pretty ugly shot, but it ended up going in. And just, I don't know, I thought the Celtics, a lot of it had to do with the fact that they were able to knock down their outside shots. But I thought just their way they were able to attack the paint, kind of get the defense collapse, and then, as you mentioned, attack those mismatches. It allowed for a lot of those open threes to kind of be there for them. And on the other side of the floor, the Clippers just weren't taking any threes, and the ones that they did take were missing. The Clippers just kind of looked discombobulated on offense.
First half, it was either free throws or nothing. They went 0 for 6 from the arc. They turned the ball over a lot. It was just like, if they didn't get to the free throw line, they probably weren't going to score. Lou Williams was very ineffective for most of the game. Blake Griffin was pretty inefficient. The Celtics did a really good job on the Clippers' biggest threats, except for Tyrone Wallace. My man Tyrone.
I didn't know he existed until Gary Washburn tweeted about him before the game because apparently he went to Cal.
Yep, he's a Cal guy. Jaylen Brown, also a Cal guy. I don't know if you've heard. But you brought up Semi Ojeleye picking up 3 fouls in 20 seconds. Probably my favorite part of the game. That was 3 fouls in 20 seconds almost immediately after he got in the game. And he also, during that stretch, or very close to that stretch, airballed a three-pointer. He had a horrific turnover. And then he picked up his fourth foul before the end of the first quarter. Brad Stevens decided, F it, we'll leave him on the court. And somehow Ojeleye turned that into one of his best offensive games in a while, hit his last 2 three-pointers, had the finish you talked about. That was a little awkward, but it worked. And I think Ojeleye needed that. Ojeleye badly needed that. He's a capable shooter who has lost all confidence. And
you could tell he needed it so badly just by the bench reaction, because like how hyped they were when he made
fired
it.
Fired up.
Like they exploded off the bench. And like when you know, like, you
it was
know,
like when Jason McElwain had his like 20 point. You don't know Jason McElwain?
No.
So Sam is looking at me like I'm crazy. Jason McElwain was the team manager, the autistic team manager.
Oh, yeah. Well, like he just got in the game and then he just went off.
Yeah, he got in one game, like, wasn't even on the team, I don't think. And they dressed him for a game and he had like 20 points in 4 minutes.
You just compared Semi Ojeleye to Jason McElwain, but I like it. Was like a similar reaction. The bench was going that crazy.
Yeah, I'm sorry to Semi. Semi is no Jason McElwain. Semi is a very capable defender. I think he's a capable shooter. He hasn't been that always this season. He was tonight, and the bench loved it. The bench absolutely loved it. Oh, man, I needed that. I needed that. That was glorious.
The crazy thing about tonight is it wasn't just Semi Ojeleye who was fouling. Like, Aaron Baines immediately in foul trouble. I think he picked up his, like, third, fourth, and fifth fouls, like, immediately in the third quarter. Tice was in foul trouble. Basically, anyone who was over 6'6", just picked up, like, there. It's very hard to deal with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Brad was upset. Brad, we got a rare Brad Tech tonight.
Brad Tech?
If the Celtics didn't make the shots, I thought he was going to get ejected because he was just ripping into the refs. There was just, like, the Celtics had really no answer for DeAndre Jordan or Blake Griffin, and it felt like, I don't know, Brad was very, very angry, and it's not like the Celtics were doing a great job themselves of getting to the free throw line. We talked about their ability to attack the basket or get into the paint, but that didn't necessarily translate to free throws other than Terry Rozier, who I think it was 6 for 6 from the line, but it was a huge, I guess, disparity there. But other than that, that was the best thing the Clippers did tonight was they drew fouls.
Yeah, that was about it. And some of them were intentional fouls on DeAndre Jordan. Aaron Baines has been picking up a lot of fouls lately.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fouls from Mr. Baines, who's usually really good at putting his hands straight in the air, keeping vertical.
Sometimes he did that tonight, too, and fouls were still called.
Another one of my favorite moments was after he got called for a foul on a rebound, he gave a forearm to the ref. Like he was just reenacting the play. It was one of those moments where, like, you're trying to show your friend and you just kind of put a little too much force in it, and the ref kind of looked at him at first like taking it back, and then Baines had to apologize, and they both ended up laughing about it, and it was clear it was just a joke. It was they were both amused by the incident. It wasn't serious, but Baines, the man loves contact.
Loves contact and he loves joking. I was in the locker room and he was like joking around with, I think, one of the assistant coaches, and he was just like, "Oh, you already hit me today." And it was like, Baines was like, "No, that was yesterday." And then they just chuckled to each other. Baines loves goofs and he loves being physical. And that's why he just seems like a very, very jolly Australian man.
Jolly Australian. I thought tonight the Celtics, that should kind of be the blueprint for what they are offensively. I think the way they have a lot of players who can handle the ball and can beat their guys off the dribble and can do some isolation stuff, but that isolation stuff is a lot more powerful when you use it to break down the defense and get the ball moving, and then you find an open shot. And I think Terry Rozier was great at it tonight, getting into the paint, creating things. I thought Shane Larkin, even though he shot just 2 for 9, was great at getting into the paint, creating things. I thought Kyrie had a great playmaking game. I thought Jason Tatum, you know, he was just roasting Milos a lot of the time. And that to me is how they have to be. Like, instead of using your isolation skills to get a mid-range jumper or to get a contested shot, use it to beat your man and get into the paint and then make things easier for everyone else. And so I think that when the Celtics are at their best, that's kind of what they're going to be, what they were tonight, where they still use a lot of isolations and still have all that those guys who like to bring out the sauce, as you like to say it, but then use it in a more productive fashion, in a more team-oriented fashion.
One play that was perfect for that was like Kyrie brings the sauce off the dribble, beats his man, Tatum, sauce off the dribble, nails Aaron Baines, who's automatic from 12 feet. Like, and that was like, it, and do you think that like it's on Kyrie Irving as the kind of the main ball handler, the primary scorer of this team? We saw him go for, I think, 30 and at least twice during that 4-game losing streak, and the Celtics didn't win. Tonight, only 20 points. He didn't really play a lot of the fourth quarter, but we saw kind of 5 different guys in double figures. Do you think the responsibility is on him to try and get more guys involved, or is just them? It was just the Celtics reacting to whoever that homeless Theodosius was on the floor and just kind of exploiting that.
I think it all matters, man. Like yes, it's nice to be able to target a guy like Theodosius. First of all, we are berating poor Theodosius on this. Theodosius,
I'm following your lead on that one.
Theodosius is my favorite player.
He didn't do any fancy passing tonight. I was kind of disappointed.
He is my favorite player. His court vision is godly. Godly. I love watching that man pass the basketball. I could watch highlights of Theodosic for the rest of my life. I could just sit there on YouTube and just watch Milos Teodosic highlights. It pains me that we are roasting him.
It doesn't pain you. This is the first thing you wanted to talk about. I'm sure you wrote your... How many MS Live articles have you penned about Jason Tatum roasting?
There will be...
It's in the drafts right now.
About the blood that was shed. But, yeah. Milos, man. Poor Milos. They were at his mercy. I think part of it is on Kyrie to facilitate ball movement. Obviously, he's the guy that draws the most defensive attention. But then it's on the other guys, too. Like, you can't have the offense bogged down with Marcus Morris isolations, or you can't have the offense bogged down with Tatum isolations. You need to have everybody, including Smart, Rozier, Smart when he's not in the hospital getting stitches and doing whatever for his mysterious hand injury. You need everybody to use their powers for good. Like, it's one thing to have offensive talent, and it's another thing to use that offensive talent for good. And I think that's where Marcus Morris occasionally goes wrong. And I think some of the other Celtics, too, have a tendency to kind of use their powers the wrong way.
We didn't see any singularities tonight from Marcus Morris. A lot of his offense came actually just from corner threes after ball movement. Wasn't him just kind of ISO mook. I mean, of course he did some of that because that's who he is as a person. But there's a really good just... I think just ball movement in general. Here's something I just thought of. Do you think Terry Rozier having a bounce back game and Marcus Smart not being in the lineup, is it all related? You think Terry? Like, I feel like Tito is a guy who really enjoys having a larger role and having more responsibility. And it felt like he was more aggressive tonight. And do you think that one? It's a question moving forward, and like something I feel like we'll talk about for the next 6 months about. What do you do with Marcus Smart? But do you think that in any way Marcus Smart may be holding back Terry Rozier? Just because there's only so many guys who can handle the ball kind of as that secondary point guard.
I don't know if Marcus Smart's holding back Terry Rozier. I think Terry Rozier is not really a point guard. And I think Marcus Smart has shown more pick and roll skills.
I mean, Marcus Smart's definitely much better in the pick and roll, but you saw Terry Rozier. I guess he wasn't the one facilitating offense, but off the catch, his quickness to getting into the paint. I don't know. I just felt like he was a lot more aggressive tonight, and I'm probably just trying to start some controversy where there isn't some. But if there's some, it feels like there's something there where he's just like felt like there was more onus on him to create and thus was more aggressive.
The one thing I will say is that when Smart and Rozier are both on the court, Smart's a non-shooter, and teams are always going to play him as a non-shooter except when guys freak out because he shoots a lot, and sometimes they guard him overzealously. But they'll always guard him as a non-shooter. I think for Rozier, there's more space when other guys are on the court and maybe more responsibilities. Maybe it's like he's always getting the ball in transition. He was really good in transition, I thought, tonight. I don't think that Smart's holding Rozier back. I think at times they've been very good together. Defensively, they're electric together. But I guess there could be a discussion to be had about whether that's true.
I think it's just a question of mentality. It felt like because they knew Horford and Smart were out, both Rozier and Tatum, I feel like they took it upon themselves to be more aggressive, look for their shots more, attack the rim more. Who knows? So before we get to the hashtag reigning Jays and hashtag reigning junk, we're going to hear from the third member of our team, John Corrales.
Hey guys, John Corrales here to talk to you about our friend Jason Manganiello. Jason is a real estate agent with over 15 years experience in the real estate industry. He's part of the Residential Group, which has been the top selling group in all of Massachusetts at William Ravis since 2009. And you know what? Jason is a listener of the show, a Celtics fan, and he wants to help you out selling or buying your house. He thinks of the clients first, and he will help you out with a very personal touch. And I know from personal experience that buying and selling a home is very difficult. And I know that Jason will help you out from beginning to end. But the best part of what Jason does is he invests 10% of his commission to a local nonprofit designated by the clients. And on top of that, on top of you helping the community, anybody who buys or sells a house with Jason goes to a Celtics game on him. And beyond that, if you refer somebody, so if you have a friend who buys or sells a house with Jason, you also get to go to a Celtics game on him. Call him up, 617-877-5694, or email him, lockedonjason@gmail.com. I'm going to say it again, 617-877-5694, or lockedonjason@gmail.com. Whether you're buying or selling a house, or you refer a friend who is buying or selling a house to Jason, you will go to a Celtics game on him, and he donates 10% of his commission to a charity in the area where that house is bought or sold. So call or email Jason today.
Shouts to the mainest man, the greatest real estate agent in all the land, Jason Manganiello. I don't know if I really pronounced his name correctly, but I think I nailed it.
That's the coolest promotion for a real estate agent of all time. You should all give him a call if you have more money than I do and are in a place where you want to buy a place.
Absolutely. If you have money, give it to Jason. Let's go to the hashtag rating Jays. This is from Micah Malloy. Something we already touched on a little bit, but sees play so much better when Kyrie only needs 20 points versus when he shoulders a 40-point load. Hashtag Captain Obvious. Hashtag rating Jays. I mean, it's much easier when Kyrie basically doesn't have to play the fourth quarter and they're not just need him to play ISO basketball when they're playing team basketball. At Jake Eisenberg, semi with the combat muscles on full display. I have to agree, we've talked plenty about Shemmy tonight. At Poya's emissary, they're out here calling weak-ass fouls on Tice, and I'm not here for it even a little bit. I don't really recollect what's going on, but yeah, Shouts to Daniel Tice for knocking down 2 threes tonight and having some weak-ass fouls.
That was probably tweeted after the block on Lou Williams that was called a foul. I'm guessing that that's when that was tweeted, those weak-ass fouls.
This is from @LifeOfCahill. Sitting in the nosebleeds, and there's just one Clippers fan trying to start chants, and he's surrounded by Celtics fans. It's hilarious. A lot of Celtics fans in the building tonight. It felt like it was
some weak-ass "Let's go Celtics" chants that never really made it to.
But
it's a
road game. They like you shouldn't even be able to have an opportunity to chant. I felt like it was majority Celtics fans.
There's always pockets. You should go to Washington sometime. Washington is big. Big Celtics fan.
I mean, Celtics.
A lot of Celtics chants in Washington.
They travel well. Sean McLaughlin @NuevoSean. Jason just blamed his slump on his son and subsequent lack of sleep. Tater Tot is free game now. Well, apparently, we can't blame the Tater Tot because Jason Tatum had his bounce back game.
The Tatum Tot blessed him with the desire to have a bounce back game.
Deuce, he did it for Deuce. And I think that's a perfect transition into the Rain and Junk. Hashtag Rain and Junk. Yeah, I should have said that. I meant to say @JonathanPedro said, please tell me you guys saw Mook fake drive to the hoop at the end of regulations. The Clippers players really thought he was going to lay it in with 2 seconds left. Did you see this?
I did not see it. I wish I had seen it. Classic Mook, if it was. This has very unrelated, but that reminded me of one play that I thought was awesome, or almost awesome. And it was Jaylen Brown drove to the hoop, kicked it out to Jason Tatum, who was semi-open. The defender rotated over, and Jaylen sprinted to the corner to relocate for a three. And he would have been wide open. Tatum threw it, and Jaylen just kind of fell on his ass. And it was a turnover, but it was beautiful, beautiful execution. Or it would have been beautiful, beautiful execution of getting to the paint, kicking out, relocating, beating the defense, beating the rotating defender. That was really, really nicely done by those two guys.
Until the very end.
Until Jaylen Brown.
Can we talk about Jaylen Brown? It feels like he's in a... I mean, the whole team's been in a bit of a funk, but he has not been playing great basketball as of late. His three-point shot is not falling down. Brad Stevens, a couple of times tonight, was not pleased with his defense, kind of stormed out onto the court to talk to him at some timeouts. Again, he's only 20 years old. I don't think there's like a rookie wall, but I just don't... He has not been the best version of Jaylen Brown, I'll say.
And that's a classic Brad Stevens term right there, the best version of himself. Yeah, he hasn't been the best version of himself. Jaylen Brown can absolutely play better. I don't think it's too worrisome, but we'll see. We should point out that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were both selected the Rising Stars Challenge.
Yeah, that's exciting. I like Brad's response. There's like, what are they going to get from that? And he said, recognition.
he kind of thought about it, and I think he was deciding whether to roast the person who asked him
or roast the NBA or the entire idea of the game.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you don't really get much from the All-Star game.
All right, let's go into the jam-packed rating junk. Anytime Lou Will hits a basket and they play...
Which
like
he did
a
not do too much of.
No, that. I think I cursed Lou Will. I'm a pretty bad curse right now. Earlier in the season, I said that the only way Baines wouldn't be on the boat was if he injured Kyrie Irving, then he smacks Kyrie Irving in the face. Then I called the team mental alphas, and they lost 4 in a row. Then last night, I said Lou Will was going to go for 30. He was not great tonight. But when he did score, the Clippers play the clip like I'm Lou Will, and it's fucking badass. And I was here for that. Montrezl.
They also play Hey DJ.
Yeah, no.
And DeAndre Jordan.
The Clippers game presentation is...
I disagree.
Years beyond the Lakers. We just had back-to-back performances, and Clippers was way better.
Jaylen Brown was standing at the free throw line, and they were still playing the kiss cam on the Jumbotron. Everybody was lined up. The ref had the ball ready to give Jaylen Brown, and they were still playing the kiss cam, and whoever the PA guy was going wild about
the kiss cam's
cam.
Hilarious.
The kiss cam is stupid.
Okay. Here's one from @OwenPhoenix5. I've never seen NBA dancers touch a ball. Can we sign them to a two-way contract? And I also had this note. The Clippers Spirit, as they're called, they did a full dance where each member of the dance squad had a basketball, but at no point did they ever treat it like a basketball. Like, they never dribbled it or like pretended to shoot. They just kind of used it as a prop. I thought it was very odd. It was very it was very confusing. Why would you bring out a basketball as a prop if you're not going to like dribble through your legs a little bit?
Could they dribble?
No, well, apparently, I have no idea.
Why would you dribble if you can't dribble? Stick to your role.
Don't give him a basketball again. Then give him some pom-poms.
Hold on. You skipped over the Asian guy from Silicon Valley being there?
Yeah, he was sitting like two seats to the right of us. There's a lot more celebrities at the Clippers game tonight than there were at the Lakers game, which makes zero sense.
I almost ran over Billy Crystal in the hallway.
Oh, I didn't even see Billy Crystal.
He walked out of the bathroom, and I almost murked him accidentally.
Sarah Silverman was there, and then at some point she got on the court and started shooting the t-shirt cannon.
So Jin Yang was there?
Yeah, Jin Yang was like I saw Jin Yang. He's a huge Clippers fan. He was like furious the whole game. Like, he was screaming at the ref standing up. It was fantastic. I was a big fan of it.
Jin Yang being a Clippers fan is maybe the greatest news of all time.
Shouts to Montrezl Harrell for banking a free throw. That was the ugliest thing I've seen in a while.
It wasn't even the worst free throw of the game. Shout out to DeAndre Jordan, who had an air ball.
Oh, talking about good shots, Kyrie's moon floater he did over Blake Griffin.
That was a moon floater.
It was like pulling up from basically the one-handed from the free throw line.
And it was so nonchalant. It was like he saw where Blake Griffin was, and he realized, I can just take my sweet-ass time and loft this thing up to the moon, and it's going to go in. And
yeah. It went in. Speaking of local celebrities, this is my first time experiencing Clipper Daryl. He was moving around. Not that impressed. He basically had one thing to say. Is Kyrie, you really think you can win without LeBron? You know what? He had a nice suit on, but I don't know. It was my first Clipper Daryl experience. What did you think of his
He's not yelling? Great. My favorite part, though, was when he said something to Jalen Brown. I forget what it was. Jalen Brown kind of looked over at him like, what are you yapping about, man? And then proceeded to hit a free throw. So maybe Jalen Brown needs Clipper Daryl at all games. And then he'll be a better free throw shooter.
He was kept on going after Kyrie, and I really wanted Kyrie to just tell him to suck his dick. Because, like, that feels like...
Locked on Celtic, where we advocate
when he did that the first time, Kyrie, the Celtics won the next
Clipper Daryl to suck his dick.
They won the next 16 games. They're called the Suck My Dick Celtics for a reason. That's when they were at their best, so that's why I thought they could get back to that. And then finally, Blake Griffin got a tech... for throwing the ball at the referee, and I didn't see this live because I wasn't on the court. I heard it after the game on NBA Reddit. You could hear the mic saying, so I got to pay a fine because you can't catch the fucking ball, which is a pretty good line for Blake Griffin, noted semi-funny guy. And then the final thing, there was a Celtics fan in a wheelchair who was going away on the ramp, and some other person was like, whoa, look at that, is that Paul Pierce? And I thought that was just a good line. And the guy in the wheelchair got a good laugh out of it. So that's it. That's the reigning junk for today.
That was a nice lineup of junk.
That's what I do. That's why I'm here.
Strong lineup of junk right there.
Strong junk from me and the Suck My Dick Celtics.
Yeah, and I think we should just end it there. We finished off the junk, finished off with some great junk. And it was a hell of a day, man. From Al Horford being... left off the court, or left out of the game because they were worried about the concussion, to Marcus Smart doing God knows what and lacerating his hand, to Kyrie declining to say suck my dick to Clipper Daryl. It was just a hell of a day.
A hell of an evening. A
hell of a day.
Me and Jay King will be back tomorrow live from San Francisco. You know we're going to do a mailbag. You know we had to do it to him. So right now, if you're listening now, you have some questions, you want to hear more about Marcus Smart, hopefully there might be an update, but I doubt it. Use the hashtag Raining Jays. Use the hashtag Raining Junk. We'll answer those questions tomorrow live from San Francisco. And thanks for listening. This has been another edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
I like how you did that. That was nice. Nicely done. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for closing it for me, man.
Now sometimes you gotta step up.